We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. All right, let's go to work. It's Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Happy Wednesday. Welcome to the show. Thank you for riding shotgun along with us. Greatly appreciated as always. We've got three guests on your schedule for today. Jim Duquette, former general manager of the New York Mets and the Baltimore Orioles. He's in 30 minutes at 6:30. I have a couple long shot plays for this year's MLB World Series futures. I want to see what Duquette thinks of those selections. Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback, he's at 8:10. So just after 8 o'clock, he'll join the show. 8:30, Matt Barnes, the former Golden State Warrior, and now co-host, along with Stack Jack, of the All the Smoke podcast. We made it to July. Yay. Anyone got any? Yeah, there it is. Anyone got any big plans for this month? I looked down at my watch today. I saw July 1st, and I thought, huh. Same thing as June 1st, right. Same thing as May 1st, same thing as April 1st, same thing as August 1st. I don't know what year it is anymore, Lo, but I am aware of the month. Happy July to you, my friend.
Yeah, happy July to you too, guys. But I don't know. Is it the same old story, different day, different month? But it's the same, it seems. So hopefully we can keep pushing through. And just when will this all be over? I just don't know, Joe. Dibs, just don't know. But happy July.
Worst motivational speech ever. I came to you for some motivation. You gave me the, I don't know when it's going to end. We will lose the whole thing. Dibs, tell me something. Is there anything July related you have positive to share with us, or is it just more of the same?
Well, really, the only thing I can think about, Joe, is that we are halfway through what can only be described as a godforsaken year. It's kind of like when you ran that half marathon that time, and you trained for it, and you got to the starting line, which is basically New Year's Eve, and you thought, okay, I'm ready for this. I'm ready for 2020. And you start running, and about a quarter mile in, ooh, is that a blister? Then a half mile in, all of a sudden your calf, it starts to tighten up. And you get to the mile mark, and your stomach starts to rumble, and you're thinking, oh my God, I got mud butt. Oh. I got two blisters. My arm's starting to chafe.
This is also not a true story. This is not a story of my actual half marathon. What are you talking about?
I'm casting light on what this year is. I'm drawing an analogy based on what it would be like. So basically,
but you're talking about a mile in, Coach. This is a mile in.
Well, now we're 6.5 miles in, and still the mud butt's gotten worse, and now the knee hurts, and all of a sudden your toe is popping through your shoe. This year has been so bad, and we're halfway through, though. You only have another 6.5 miles, Joe, in your half marathon.
Yeah. Yay.
Wait.
Now, how's that for a pick-me-up?
That was better than mine, Joe. That was more Debbie Downer than mine. My God.
I at least got a couple chuckles out of that, though. Yours was just, I don't know when it's going to end. This is terrible. You didn't even go to the good book. Like, at least go to the good book and give me something out of the good book that I can cling to for a couple seconds.
Hey.
Also, I can't. Okay, so the Rudy Gobert thing was in mid-March, right? So April, May, June. It's almost 4 months since Rudy Gobert tested positive, the NBA shut down, and the world changed as we know it. Have the last few months moved quickly? Have they moved slowly? I can't even tell. There are some days where it's like, my God, that seems like it's 3 years ago. Then there are some days where it's like, man, I can't believe it's been that long since Rudy Gobert tested positive. I have no sense of time anymore. It's like watching that movie Interstellar when they show up at that first planet. And it's like, if you go down on the planet, every hour you're there is going to cost you 7 years. It's like, what the hell does that mean? 7 years? So I don't know. I don't know if gravity has been changed, but I can tell you I don't know if time is moving fast or slow, Dibs. That's my biggest problem right now.
Yeah, for me, time is just crawling. It's absolutely crawling by. You know, we got the construction going on in the back, and there's some days where they're working, some days they're not, you know, depending on where the project is. You got mountains of dirt, garbage men coming and going. These days, though, Lo, have felt like an eternity. It's like thinking about you two. I haven't seen either one of you in almost 4 months, and it feels like more like 4 years to me.
Lo, do you feel the same way? I mean, you're right. The last time we saw each other was that Thursday going into the studio where it was like, I guess today's going to be the last day where we see each other for a while. If you had handicapped it at July, I don't think any of us was playing the over on that, right? I thought maybe we figured it'd be a month, maybe two. I didn't think we'd be out till this long with no end in sight, by the way.
Right, right. You know what? It's crazy because some days it looks like you said, it's just crawling, like Dib said. And then some days it's just flying. You look and you're like, oh, my God, 4 months ago. But look where we're at. It's like it seems while it was in it, you're like, man, and when is this thing going to get over? But at the same time, you turn around, you're like, my God, we're already in July. It's still flying but crawling. If you get that, is that kind of weird, flying but still crawling?
You're in the same space as Joe. That's what Joe was saying. Like, gravitationally, yeah, he's not sure if it's moving fast or moving slow. For me, it's just been an absolute crawl. It literally feels like years since I've seen you guys, and I can't remember my locker combination. I don't really remember. You know what I mean, Joe? It's like all the little things that we did without even thinking about it. Now to go back to our workplace, if we ever do again, it's going
to
be like showing up for that first time. I've not
been
to the city
for
anything. No.
No.
I've not been across that bridge.
Good.
Really?
Stay on the other side. We don't need you over here. We got our own problems, okay? We got our own problems over here. I'll tell you what. The office building has seen more mountain lions than it has Joe Lo and Dibs in the last 4 months.
Wow.
That's a fact. The mountain lion was at the office. We were not there. So that's score one for that. I don't know. The whole thing's got me thinking maybe I should take up drugs. I don't know. I don't know what to do these days.
What
I was thinking, you know what? Maybe I should just start doing, I don't know, anything. Just throw a few out there and let's, like, well, you know, I don't know why you got to go so heavy right away. The joke itself was going to be a little controversial.
Jeez.
Hit the text line. Let him know what he should be taking. Hash, heroin.
I feel like I need a hobby. That's the thing. I keep coming up with this concept where it's like I need something to pass my time a little bit more. And then I realize I have no time. I don't have any time between the kids and this, and I'm trying to at least get set for baseball season. Like last night I was doing some notes and I was like, oh, these futures look pretty good. These are teams I'm kind of interested in betting. You know, we talked yesterday with Tommy Glavine about the idea of playing a closer as a Cy Young winner, because this year a closer could have, like, Josh Hader for the Milwaukee Brewers could have 20 saves. He could play a huge, like, bullpens are going to play a huge role in getting a team to the playoffs. So I've been going through some notes on that. And then it's like, man, I don't even know if this season's going to happen. Let's go do NBA. And I start doing some NBA notes and putting that stuff together, and I'm getting excited. And then it's like, man, Silver said some stuff yesterday that really bummed me out. I was like, maybe I'll just do some college football. That always cheers me up. And then I didn't even get a sentence into that. And I was like, this is going to be an epic failure. These people are the least organized. And then I was like, the good old NFL, maybe I can bank on them. See this story about from Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, about how some teams are considering flying into and out of their road games on the same day. So, like, if the Patriots are playing the Steelers, like, and I'm not saying that's actually going to happen, but the closer ones, you're not going to do this for cross country, but you fly from New England down to Pittsburgh Sunday morning, you play them and then jump on the plane and come back Sunday night so you don't have to worry about hotel rooms. And I was thinking, oh, that's crazy. You don't need to do that. And I thought to myself, you know what? If you got hundreds of people staying at hotel rooms, the risk is going to shoot through the roof on this. Like, Lo, if you don't stay at a hotel overnight for a short travel game, right? Or maybe Chicago to Philadelphia, something like that.
Yeah,
like, how much of a disadvantage
is
that?
Or flying from LA to play Oakland.
Sure.
You know, or that's the kind of trip. You look at that, that's a 45 to an hour flight. So let's just say you said, okay, guys, you're at the facility anyway, no later than 8 o'clock. Everyone's there every day by 8 o'clock. So now you have the same type of deal. Be at the stadium, 8 o'clock, guys. Now I think that if you do this, I think the dress has to totally change. Guys can be in sweats and be relaxed. So you get there at 8 o'clock. You know, there's the breakfast there for you if you want. Then you make sure so from 8 to 8:30, you're having breakfast. You go to your little meeting in the room. There's rollers, there's stretching. You're stretching, doing all that stuff, going through the little stretching, drinking water. They got fluids in all the rooms and the vitamins that people take before game day morning. Then, bus to an airport, which is 10 to 15 minutes away. Jump on a plane, at 9:30. You get there at 10, 11 o'clock, whatever. You got a 4 o'clock game, you should be fine. If it's a 1 o'clock game, then, you probably fly out by 8, be there by 9, get to the stadium by 10 o'clock. So
body wise, you'd be okay with that? Would players, you guys are creatures of habit in all sports. Would you be okay with that?
I think that would you be okay? Wouldn't be ideal. It would not be ideal by no stretch of imagination. You're right. Creatures of habit, people wanting to get to the stadium a lot earlier. So then, but if you do change it and say, no, I want to be the stadium 4 hours ahead like usually some guys do. Now you're talking about leaving on the plane at 6. Now you are throwing guys' bodies off even more. So you want guys, if you're going to do that, if they're already going to be at the practice facility by 7, buses leave by, 8 o'clock, you can be there by 9:30. That's what you would have to do. But if you try to throw guys off, I don't think their bodies would be adapted to that.
All right, we got more on that throughout the course of the day. Sean Salisbury will join us to talk about it as well at 8:10 a.m. Jim Duquette's at 6:30. Today's show is brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking and no compromises. July 1st means it's Bobby Bonilla Day. I heard nice guy Steven talking about it. We got the details on the idiot Mets and one of the worst transactions in baseball history. That's coming up next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Do you want to see it? Do you want to see it?
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I tell you, that's right, Joe. That's right.
On 95.7, The Game.
This segment right here is presented by our friends at Golden State Lumber. Open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Some of the locations, by the way, are open on Saturdays as well. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for more information. July 1st. Every year on this day, it's worth at least a mention. Today, since we have no sports, it's going to be worth at least a discussion. Bobby Bonilla Day, as it's become affectionately known throughout the sports world. In 2000, the New York Mets and Bobby Bonilla agreed to a buyout. Bonilla had $5.9 million remaining on his contract. The Mets wanted to buy him out. So they did. Instead of just giving him the $5.9 million, the Mets, in their infinite wisdom, decided they were going to get real creative with the payment structure. So what they agreed to was, rather than give the guy $5.9 million, they were going to give him $1.2 million every year for 25 years, starting July 1st, 2011. So today is the 10th consecutive year the Mets owe Bobby Bonilla $1.2 million on July 1st. Only 15 more years to go. Congratulations, Mets. There's also a negotiated 8% interest increase in the deal as well. Now, you might ask yourself, why the hell would you agree to pay a guy $30 million over 25 years simply to avoid, 11 years, 10 years on the payment? They wanted to defer about 10 years down the road. Get this, and this is the part of the story that gets lost in the translation. At the time, the Mets were involved in an investor named Bernie Madoff. They were working with a guy named Bernie Madoff. I think you've heard of him. And the account promised double-digit interest rates over the course of the deal. The Mets were poised to make so much money on this guy, Bernie Madoff, that they didn't even have to worry about Bonilla. They'd rather have the $5.9 million they owed him and then be able to invest it with Madoff for the next 10 years. And they were going to make so much, the Bonilla deal was going to be a drop in the bucket. Turns out Madoff was running a Ponzi scheme, so that completely collapsed in and of itself. Dibs, every year we talk about this. Every year it still seems so surreal that a Major League Baseball team, rather than pay the $5.9 million, just decides to get creative and is going to owe this guy at least $30 million. They're going to pay Bonilla until he's in his 70s.
Right, and it's going to be fivefold of what they owed him, and that's what makes this all so absurd. And I'm glad you laid that out the way you did, because I always forget that all this money he's getting is not money that he was owed. It's actually five times more than what he was owed based on the structure of the deal. And also the Bernie Madoff angle, where the Mets in their hubris are thinking, we're going to make millions, hundreds of millions, if not billions. So go ahead, Bobby, whatever deal you want to put in front of us, we'll pay you $1 million a year, big deal. That'll be what we make in a day with our boy Bernie. But here they are. Still haven't won, by the way, since this deal has been put into place. And now they got every July 1st, Lo, they are a national embarrassment because it's Bobby Bonilla Day.
No, guys, so they just said, hey, you know what? We owe this guy this money, but you know what? It's only $5 million. Let's just, let's defer it. Let's just say, I'm just going to give this guy $1 million a year for 20 years.
Instead, 1.2 for 25.
For 20. I don't care what kind of money you're making. Was it this? They were that tight that they said one payment or just stretch it out, give him $2.5 million or $2.6 million a year for 2 years and be done with the guy? Instead, I'm saying, you know what? Did they love him? Was he just a? Was it just a goodwill deal? It had to be more to it just to say, I'm going to do this. It seems like it should have been. Maybe it was just something they loved this guy. He's maybe one of their own. For them to give that type of money that long is half crazy and all stupid.
Well, the thing is, it's what a lot of investors say, right? It's the old money today is worth more than money tomorrow. So the thought process was because they were getting these great returns from Bernie Madoff that turned out to be a complete house of cards Ponzi scheme. They thought, look, rather than give this guy $5.9 million, let's kick it down the curb 11 years and think about what we can make with this $5.9 million in 11 years. We're obviously going to make way more than $30 million that we're going to have to end up paying Bonilla. And even then, we're stretching the Bonilla money out over 25 years. So we're going to have so much cash that we're going to make from this. It would be stupid to go ahead and give them this money now. I think that was the mindset.
So they deferred that $5 million. So they said, okay, we're going to defer your $5 million for 11 years.
11 years. $5.9 million, 11 years.
Okay, so they're saying, okay, I'm going to defer, okay, $6 million, whatever, close to. So we're not going to pay you that for 11 years, and then we're going to let your money get interest on it as well. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You just pay the dude off, and now you're like, that interest is yours. Whoever their finance guy, man, I'd like to meet him. Maybe I got a couple deals I'd like to still see if I can get him to do mine.
The finance guy was Bernie Madoff. He's in prison right now. That's their finance guy. Well, you go through this. This is absolutely incredible. Now, you'll have people, and this happens every year, Bonilla should have just taken the money, and he would have been better off if he had invested it. And, of course, Darren Rovell has the tweet, and it's interesting. If Bonilla, and it's always easy to look back on this and say, oh, yeah, he should have done that. It would have made so much money. He's an idiot. Nobody was doing this. But if you took that $5.9 million back in 2000, and say Bonilla gets that money from the Mets and he just dumps it into Amazon stock, it'd be worth over $1 billion today. So yeah, that's on Bobby Bonilla. So the Mets actually won this deal.
Yeah, right. And who is going to right. Think, okay, I'm going to get this off. And here's the thing. In all actuality, Joe, the $5.9 million after taxes, he's going to bring home, you know, $3.4 million. So he's going to bring home, you know, 3.4. Let's just say he puts it in there in eight and a half years. It's now 7 million because you double. So he's probably close to seven or eight, close to seven, six. So he made 7.6 in those 8 years, eight more years. You double that seven. So he's at 14. Let's just say 15 million in 16 years. So he would have made that 16, but Who do I take chances? If they're going to give you this type of money, a million something every year for the next 25 years, who cares? He's in great shape.
Yeah, he's got another 15 years to go, Lo. 2035, exactly. I believe, is the last payment. So, yeah. And that's the beauty of it, from Bobby Bonilla's standpoint, is it was all deferred by, what, 10 or 11 years. So
11, yeah.
It's almost like, oh, that's right, I forgot about that. I'm getting a check this July 1st. And then 25 years
retirement up, right? Yeah.
What would you do if you're Bonilla, honestly? Like, what do you do every year on this day? You know it's coming. Like, all your family member and friends are hitting you up. I mean, this has become such a thing with sports talk radio and everybody looking for stuff to talk about in July. It's known affectionately as Bobby Bonilla Day. Like, the day is named after you. The start
you
of July is Bobby Bonilla Day. Like, at least one of those years,
you
take that check and probably just go blow it, right? Like, most years, you're probably smart, but at least 1 year, Dibs, do you think you just take the 1.2 and you do something extremely stupid with it?
Yeah, because the interest changes the amount every year, I take whatever is to the right of the decimal point. So if it's 1.185, I take the 0.185, and that's my blow at money. So 185 grand. And in the non-corona year,
black.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a Vegas trip, Lo. So you take the mill every time, and you put the mill away, and then whatever is on the other side of the decimal, that's for you to just absolutely blow. Brewster's Million style. Shout out Richard Pryor.
This year for you, that would be $193,248.20. Don't forget the two dimes at the end. There you go.
Yeah.
A little Coca-Cola, Dibs?
No. I've no uptown. No uptown funk you up. No, we're going to stay on level ground. But 190 grand in a non-corona. That's a nice long weekend in Bandon. That's, you know, maybe four nights in Vegas. Whatever tickles your fancy in that particular year.
Think about this.
Family trip, Dibs. Family trip. Not just your family,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, take the family, too. You go to Disney World.
I had actually 98 other ideas before we got to family trip. Thank
that
you,
Zolo.
Okay, yeah, so listen to this. So if you're the Mets, you've been terrible for so long. You're an embarrassment. Your players are always more hurt than everyone else. No one can figure this out. A-Rod's trying to buy you. Every time the Mets come up in a story, it's because they did something stupid, and this is no change. Listen to this. So today, they got to pay Bobby Bonilla $1.193 million, okay? Now, put that in perspective. Seth Lugo, who pitches for them, was 7-4 last year with a 2.7 ERA. Lugo was scheduled to make $2 million this season, but because of the strike, or not because of the strike, but because of coronavirus, his proration is $740,000. So he's going to miss out on $1.2 million because of the proration of coronavirus. Bobby Bonilla is getting that money. All right, keep working it through. Michael Wacha, starting pitcher, signed a one-year, $3 million deal with the Mets in the offseason. He's going to make $1.1 million this year in prorated salary. Bonilla gets $1.2 million. Pete Alonso hit over 50 home runs for the Mets last year. His prorated amount that he's making this year, $241,000. Pete Alonso, who led Major League Baseball in home runs last year with 50-plus, is going to get $241K. Bobby Bonilla, who hasn't played since he appeared with the Cardinals in 2001, is going to make $1.2 million. The Mets are playing a guy who hasn't touched the diamond in 19 years more money than they're paying a dude who hit over 50 home runs last year, a guy with a 2.7 ERA, and a starting pitcher who they acquired in the offseason. That tells you everything you need to know about being a Mets fan. You wonder why everyone in New York roots for the Yanks. There it is right there.
Whew. Wow.
God, I love
that
this.
That is some crazy. I love this. When you're breaking it down like that, talking about Pete Alonso, 50 homers. He's making more than active players. And this is just this organization. They just must every year when they look at this time, they're like, what were we thinking? Who did this? Look at this. Because everyone, this is something that everyone talks about. This is not just us. This is absolutely crazy, Dibs. Bizarre.
Yeah, and also it speaks to the structure of baseball, though, because Pete Alonso is going to be in, what, his third year, Joe, I think, as far as service time goes. So he is
second.
Along...
He was a rook last year.
Oh, so just his second year. My bad.
Yeah.
So this year he'll get credit for it, even if it's a truncated season. But he still has a long way to go until he can actually get that big... That big chicken load just because of the way baseball structure is. And yet Bobby Bo next year, that 8% interest bump, he'll be up to about 1.23 and then 1.29. Bobby Bo's salary is going to continue
Bobby
to rise.
Going up.
Yeah, it's a negotiated 8% interest rate.
God, his agent and whoever did his deal, gangster.
If I was him, every year I would give the Mets a small discount if they were willing to accept my terms on how I wanted to be paid. Every year it'd be new. Like this year, I'd want to be paid strictly in $10 bills. Next year, I would want the giant Happy Gilmore check made out to me and sent in the mail. I would want the giant check showing up via FedEx overnight. Showing up, people are like, man, what is this thing? Is that a surfboard? No, it's a check from the New York Mets. They owe me $1.2 million. I'd give them like a $15K discount every year just to have them pay me differently. Next year, I'd want Bitcoin. I'll just give me Bitcoin.
Oh,
I want Bitcoin
God.
Next year.
Are you kidding me?
Every single year, I would demand to be paid differently. Look, variety is the spice of life, baby. Okay, I'm not just going to take $1.2 million in straight cash from the Mets every single year. You're going to have to keep me interested, right? It's a relationship. This is a marriage. Bobby Bonilla's payment structure from the Mets lasts longer than the average marriage, okay? It's going to be 25 years. Think about that. If you can make it as a married couple for 25 years, that's a hell of a win right there. A lot of couples don't make it that long. Barry and the Mets are in this thing for a long time. You got to keep things interesting. Every single year, I would demand the Mets treat me special. You better treat me special. Treat me nice, Daddy.
Would you? I like that, Daddy. Treat me nice, Daddy. Would you? Would you ever do a year where they could, do it a year of it in hash or Coca-Cola or anything like that?
Maybe again with the keys? Drugs. Again with
Why
the drugs.
Why are you so fixated on narcotics?
Yeah.
Is there something you need to tell us?
What did you do last night?
No, nothing. I saved a buck or two, stayed in the Best West. But, I just... I nice. Was. You said you wanted any kind of way. You wanted... Thank you, Stephen. You said you want to mix it
no,
up.
No, because here's what happens. Of- if I get the Mets to pay me in cocaine and I get caught, I go to prison and then I probably don't get my $1.2 million every year.
Attorney.
And even if I do.
Got an attorney.
Yeah, great. I don't want to spend the $1.2 million on an attorney. Of all the things I can do with that $1.2 million every year, the last thing is give it to an attorney to defend me in a massive drug litigation battle because I want it to be paid in cocaine rather than literally anything else.
Cocaine like one year, is a hell of a drug.
1 year you can pay me in Bellagio chips, right? Just I want $1.2 million in Bellagio chips and a marker waiting for me in Las Vegas. Beautiful, because this was getting out of control. I'm looking at the text line, Chilton Hawaii, 888-957-9570. You people and your suggestions, you're beautiful. You're not as crazy as Lowe, but you're beautiful. Let's go to the phones. We're gonna get some help on this as well. He's one of our favorite guests, former general manager of the Mets and the Orioles. You can check him out now. Terrific baseball analyst on MLB Network Radio, Sirius XM Channel 89. Jim Duquette with us here on 95.7 The Game. Jim, we were talking about Bobby Bonilla Day. 25 years from 2011 through 2035, the Mets are going to pay him $1.2 million a year. We're talking about all the things we do on July 1st every year if we were getting that check. Take us through that. Like, how revolutionary for baseball was that to have a team defer that kind of cash back in the day?
Well, yeah, thanks for having me on, guys, and I hope you're staying healthy. Yeah, with Bonilla, you know, that story has so many tentacles to it. It has a life of its own. Every year, I get to tell this main story. So, he at the last part of his contract, we had him obviously early part of his career, and then we traded for him back, and it wasn't working out well with our manager Bobby Valentine, and so we needed to get rid of him, and so. We to proceed is only like $5.5 million left. At that time, it was a lot. You know, now it's nothing. But at the time, it was a lot. And we're like, geez, we need to get out from this money. Would you consider deferring this? It was like 10 years of no payments. And then beyond that, 30 years of, as you mentioned, a little over $1 million per year would be with interest. But the team itself was going to be making on his money 15%. Invested every year, compounding, because they were averaging that when they were investing with and who Bernie Madoff. So the ultimate pain in this story is Bernie Madoff had that Ponzi scheme and all of the Mets ownership money that they were planning on making from Bobby Bonilla's deferred comp went down the drains in the scheme. So it's made this whole thing even worse than it even looks.
Even to forecast that kind of a return on your investment, 15%, wasn't there a thought internally that even though you were going to make this money, you'd still would be laying out five times what you owed Bobby, and thus it might not be the best deal?
So, yeah, so from the baseball operations side, we didn't, you know, we weren't the finance guys, right? We went to, I remember it vividly, went to our ownership, went to their financial guy. And we said, you know, this doesn't make an awful lot of sense, but if you want to, you know, if you're comfortable with this formula, which they said they were, and because they were, again, they were almost guaranteed that kind of money. And at the end of the day, if they had continued to invest in Madoff, and if that was actually real, they would have made money over the life of the contract. And over the life of the payout, you know, from our side, we were like, okay, well, we're rid of them. We're saving money on our payroll by getting them off, you know, getting off. So we were using that as a savings to spend more money to improve
sure.
the team after that. So we were fine with it from a baseball operations side. But, I mean, it obviously looks so foolish now.
No question. What was the biggest deal? I mean, you guys wanted to, I mean, you guys really wanted him out of there. Was it that bad? What was the discord? What was the you know, what was yeah. the friction? Why so tough that to want the running?
So at that point we had Bonilla and Ricky Henderson on our team. They're both veterans. They had fallen out of favor with Bobby Valentine. The postseason the postseason that year, at one point during the course of one of our postseason games, the two of them were in the clubhouse playing cards during the game instead of being on the bench. And that was like the final straw of, you know, confrontations that they had had over playing time, disagreements that they had over playing time, which isn't uncommon, but with veteran guys, especially guys who had been in the game that long, it was just untenable. We ended up releasing Ricky in 2000 in the middle of it, of the season, and then Bonilla had his, because Ricky's contract was not very large from my memory. It was like under $2 million, I think, that year. But Bonilla's was a little bit more, and so for whatever reason, we had him and held on to him during the course of the season. But during that winter, we knew our manager was adamant, like, listen, we cannot have this guy back on our team. So that was the impetus to try to move him.
Jim Duquette, former general manager of the Mets and the Orioles, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Let's pivot a little bit to the upcoming 60-game season. We've had you on before. We've had all these discussions about whether or not baseball will pull it off, the risks. Let's move past all that. It's July 1st. Baseball's supposed to be coming back. They're going to be working out Friday. Let's just assume the best. All right, we're going to assume the best. We're going to assume we have baseball this season. I've been talking to some guys, and I'm trying to figure out, I'm a Vegas guy by heart, which teams I want to take a shot on. And I feel that this would be the year that you could get a little bit riskier. You could look for a few more long shots than you normally would, because it's not the 162-game marathon. It's a 60-game sprint. I'm going to throw two names at you. Tell me what you think of them. The Chicago White Sox and the Cincinnati Reds.
Well, I like both of those. As you know, I don't even know if I would say the Reds are as much of a long shot. Like, if I don't know what the odds are either, right?
So they're mid shots. They're sitting around 25-1 or so. They're mid shots, not real long shots.
Okay, so that's a reasonable one, and that would probably be one that I would take if I were a gambler, because I think Cincinnati is poised. That Central Division is really up for grabs. And I liked all of what they've done, you know, including, I mean, first off, their pitching was really good last year, which is hard to pitch in that part. But I think they did a good job of improving their offense, too. I like the Moustakas signing, Castellanos signing. You know, they're going to be really good defensively. So I like that one a lot. The White Sox one, they're a tricky team because they have a lot to overcome from last year. The division with Minnesota is going to be hard. I think Cleveland's still going to be good. I think they're going to be in the mix, so I would definitely take a chance there. They just have a little bit more youth that's, for me, a little uncertain, you know, in this time. Like, they could take, you know, they have a really good upside of players. I love Jimenez. I love Mankata. You know, they have some depth. Obviously, a kid that one of their top starters will be healthy, Michael Kopech, at some point. They'll use him. He's impactful. So they have a lot of things going on for them, but there's a little bit more uncertainty. I'm guessing they're a little bit more of a long shot, odds-wise.
They're sitting at 40-1.
Okay, so that makes sense. I think, though, you know, in that particular case, that would be reasonable. I would take a shot on them. Certainly, if you get to the postseason, you know, if you can take that bet. But yeah, I think they're both reasonable ones. And I'll throw one more in there that people don't talk a lot about, the Texas Rangers. I think They're a team that could get in the wild card as well, you know, in that same light. I mean, they have really good starting pitching. To me, it's, if you have good starting pitching and deep bullpens, then you should have a little bit better chance of getting there in a 60-game sprint.
And you would then put Texas ahead of the Oakland A's, and how does the short season affect the A's chances and also the Giants, a team that was going to need a lot of early luck in order to stay in it, you would figure?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I think the Astros are going to struggle this year. So I think Oakland's going to win the division. And if you were looking for an upset, a mild upset, I'd say, okay, Texas might have a chance to beat the Astros. We know Verlander is going to be back now, so it's a little bit of an issue. I don't think their rotation is nearly as good. So, if we were sitting there, you know, trying to put money on it, I'd say, Texas gets in the wild card there. What was the other team? I'm sorry, I lost.
The Giants. Just how a small sample, a small season helps a team that maybe is underwhelming like the Giants.
It's an even year, Jim, just so you know. It is an even year.
Nice.
Yes, I was I was reminded 2016 was an even year. I talked to Jason Hayward that year. He's with the Cubs. They beat the Giants, I think, that year.
Yeah, divisional round.
Right? Yes, in the divisional round. You know, the Giants are an interesting one to me because, you know, under normal years, I don't think they have a shot. But, you know, again, this type of year, you know, they have to beat out Arizona. You know, Dodgers are going to be tough. So they got to beat out Arizona and San Diego. When I was in their camp, I mean, they were certainly optimistic. Don't get, you know, I talked to Gabe for a while. We talked to Farhan for a while. I just wasn't feeling overall, you know, their overall depth, both position player-wise or pitching-wise, to be able to get to the postseason. I don't know what their odds are, but I would say I'd put them in the mix of like the Texas Rangers in that area of getting to the postseason.
Giants are 300-1, just so you know. The Rangers are 80-1. Jim, you're not the only one suggesting that. There's some smart guys who like them as well. They're correlating that with the Joey Gallo MVP prop.
Well, he had an unbelievable year last year, Joey Gallo. And, you know, if you look at his numbers, he didn't play a full season. He's injured, but man, he made tremendous progress, didn't cut down on strikeouts. So I think he you know, absolutely has a legit chance. They're going into a new park. They're pitching, you know, adding to, you know, Minor and Lynn. They had Kluber this past winter. Their start rotation is really, really good. And it was, you know, they didn't have an awful lot of depth in rotation last year. So that was the one area that they improved on. We'll see. I'm not convinced on the offensive side, but they're not the only team that I have offensive question marks on. But I really like their overall pitching better than some other people do.
When you look at a team like the Dodgers and you look at the pitching, you look at the bats and things that they have, do you think the stage at times gets big when it's playoffs and championship times, or you just think it's just one of those things?
No, well, you know, it's funny because, I mean, I've been to, you know, the last 11 World Series now, but the ones with the Dodgers were back-to-back. And, you know, the year that the Astros, you know, we know now in hindsight, they are up against it, right? Astros, you know, were cheating. So, like, I don't know how you sort that out. If they were overmatched, the Red Sox were still good that year. And you could argue that year maybe, you know, even though the findings were that, you know, the Red Sox weren't necessarily cheating like the Astros were, I think there was probably some kind of help there with the Red Sox. How much, I don't know. It's hard to even go there. But the Red Sox were still good that year that, you know, Dodgers losing to them. You know, I can't really fault them for that. I think that year that they had the Astros, that was their time. They, for me, as good as they've been, I always feel like they dialed it back just a little bit at the trade deadline. And you know, I know they traded for Manny Machado, a couple years ago in 2017. You know, they're going to have to do that again. I think they tried it now with Betts, but I think they'll be aggressive at the deadline. And we'll see this year. I think this is. I don't know. I still think that even if you win this year, it'll mean something. But there'll be detractors if the Dodgers win. They'll say, well, that's why they won. They won in a, you know, shortened season. But they're so good. I wouldn't be surprised if they're sitting there at the end.
Former GM of the Mets and the Orioles. You can check him out now. Terrific baseball analyst, MLB Network Radio, Sirius XM Channel 89. Jim Duquette with us here on 95.7 The Game. Always a pleasure, Jim. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. You got it. Always good to talk to you. Bye.
Did I get him that time? Was I out before he was out? It's always close with Duquette.
Photo finish.
Man, that was a close. I figured I could have him that time. Next time, I'm not even going to say goodbye. I'm just going to say goodbye. I'm going to finish the MLB Network Radio Sirius XM Channel 89. Jim Duquette. Bye, Jim. And that's, I'm figuring I can get him that way. The countdown's on. It's time to name the Bay Area's top 10 greatest athletes of all time. Starting Monday, we want you to submit your top 10 list at 957thegame.com. Tune in all next week as each host is going to share their top 10. And beginning Monday, July 13th, we're going to tally up the fan votes to reveal the final top 10 list. Who makes the cut? Who gets into the top 5? Who becomes the official greatest athlete in Bay Area sports history? Get your submissions ready. The debate starts Monday on 957 The Game. A's fans, would you pay $129 to have a cardboard cutout of yourself put in the stadium at the Collie for this year's 60-game schedule? We'll debate that next here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Low and Dibs.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get you going.
No, you did.
You did.
You did
that's,
mean
that's
it.
All, that's a lot.
And that's why I'm firing back.
On 95.7 The Game.
Careful.
This segment right here is presented by our friends at Golden State Lumber. They're open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some locations open on Saturday as well. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for more information. It's your boys, Jolo and Dibs, here on 95.7 The Game. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day. The Mets are in year 10 of paying Bobby Bonilla $1.2 million per year. Only 15 more years to go, Mets. Congratulations. You get out of this thing in 2035. Jim Duquette joined us to talk about that and more just a few minutes ago. If you missed the interview, you miss any interview, any segments, you can always download the radio.com app, favorite 95.7 The Game. Find us and take advantage of the rewind feature. Sean Salisbury will join us at 8:10. Matt Barnes is coming up today at 8:30. All right, so the Mets are offering, the A's. I got Mets on the brain today. The A's are offering up a very interesting program that we heard the Giants were doing something like this. Other teams are going to try to take advantage of this, where you can go ahead and pay two levels of this, $89 for a regular cardboard cutout of yourself, of the Dibber, of whoever you may like, the big grilled cheese. It doesn't even need to be you. You could have a cutout of the big grilled cheese for $89, put at the Coliseum for their 30 home games this year. They're going to place it there, and it's going to be there all season long. And it's going to deal with the weather and all that stuff. And then at the end, if you want it, you can have it. You can also upgrade to $129 for what's being called a foul ball zone cardboard cutout. Now, this puts you in, I guess, foul ball territory. If your cutout gets hit with a foul ball, that ball will be retrieved and then it will be mailed to you. Now, a lot of people will look at this and say, oh, the A's are trying to rip you off. This is so hokey. Proceeds, I want to make this very clear because this stuff always gets buried at the bottom of the article. Proceeds are going to benefit the Oakland A's Community Fund. And in addition, if you do this sort of thing, you get you're going to receive two tickets to the A's first exhibition game at the Coliseum in 2021, assuming there's baseball, of course. So, Dibs, the $89 version where you're in the Coli, the $129 version when you're in foul ball territory where you could get a ball sent to you if it hits your cardboard cutout, or a pass all the way around.
No, I'm going to have to go with the upgrade, Joe, because I've been to hundreds of, maybe even thousands of baseball games at the major league level, and I've never gotten a foul ball. There was a time at Candlestick, I believe it was 1979, where I was at the bottom of a small scrum, and I had the ball momentarily, but I did not emerge from the pile with the foul ball, and it's one of those memories that I will always have because I still haven't gotten one. So,
how many people are in this pile? Take us through it. I'm going to need more details on that situation.
It was about four or five. And, you know, Joe, I was a big-time ball hawk where if I wasn't seated on the aisle, I would be near the aisle because I wanted to get a foul ball. And this was one of those ones that careened on the first base side, one big bounce, and it goes behind the seats and kind of rolls by the stairwell. I go down to get it. A few of the kids spill in there with me. I had one hand on it, and by the time the pile cleared, I no longer had the ball. I had a handful of candlestick soot and some sadness. There were tears, but we're on to Cincinnati. So if my cardboard, Joe, it was heartbreaking to be honest. I couldn't make a play. I needed to make a play. I couldn't make a play. I did not get the ball. So if it cost me $1.29 and my cardboard cut out of Dibber claws is able to get it done once and for all, it'd be worth it for me.
Lo, what would you be thinking? Well, first of all, Lo, have you ever gotten close to a foul? Do you have a foul ball story like that where you're down in the dirt and you come away with nothing?
No, I usually go down in the dirt and I'm coming out with something. And it's mostly likely going to be that ball. So, yeah, I've got many stories where foul balls come to me and I just grab it. And, you know, most time if people see it, they'll just probably just kind of get out of the way. The big fella's got it. The big grilled cheese gotten one. I got a couple. I got one actually in Fresno for the Giants at the time. Went to a game there and got one. I got one also. I was at another place, and the ball just it was like bounced around on the ground and just grabbed. I can't remember, but I've gotten a foul ball. I'm positive about that. Can't name it. Wasn't
we appreciate the story? It's a great story.
I wasn't young.
Vivid
I wasn't
detail
young,
too.
I feel like I was there catching it myself.
No,
I got one. Once, and I don't even know if it counts. I'll put it to you guys. Chilton Auto Body text line, 888-957-9570. I was at a Reading Phillies game.
So Reading, where Steinmetz is from, terrible town, awful place, going on there. The AA affiliate of the Philadelphia Phillies. I was there with some friends. There was like a, they have one of those sections like most minor league parks do where you can rent it out and it's everyone's eating. You have all your own food, your own giant section, some barbecue section, right? So they had re-entry there as well. And we're high school kids. We didn't, you know, we were in for some of it. We went outside, come back. You're just doing everything but watching the game. And I remember three of us were outside the stadium and someone fouled off a pitch that went up over the roof of the stadium. Like not down the left line or the right line, just up back over home plate. And it's not a huge stadium, so it's not that hard to do it. You see it in major league games where it'll fly up at Kruk and Kipe or guys like that. Well, a small minor league park, it can fly up over, and it flew over, and we saw it coming over, and it hit on the pavement, and it just took a wild ricochet, and the three of us just sprinted for it, and I just happened to be lucky enough to be in position to come away with it. That's it. I don't know if that counts as catching a foul ball, though, because A, I would like to do it at a major league game. I think that's the bucket list item. And B, I'd like it to happen also inside the stadium. Now, if it's a splash hit, that's a completely different scenario. That's awesome. That's very unique. I don't know if this counts as grabbing a foul ball, though, Dibs. I'll leave it to you guys.
No, I'm going to say it doesn't count. And it's mainly because it wasn't a major league game. The fact that you got one at a minor league game, that's great. Cute little story. I've gotten foul balls at San Jose Giants games, single A. And, you know, it's real nice. I don't have vivid detail like Lowe to completely take you to the moment, but major league foul ball, that's another echelon, which you know, Lowe's obviously done it as he so eloquently laid out.
No, I'm sorry about that. When you're talking about catching, I got a ball off the ground, so it was a scrum, and I thought you guys were talking about a scrum, like you just was talking about, Dibs, like you were saying, you went down, you saw it, you were down there, and you came out with some lint, and someone took your cornbread. So that's what I was talking about, getting a ball like that. But far as catching it, no. And Joe, what I would do, I would get two. I would get one in the foul ball territory, and I get one. So I'd have two pitchers of Big Low Neil. That's what I do. Two pitchers of the grilled cheese, so get more opportunities. So I would get two.
Oh, you would want to put two up there?
Yeah, I want to have to get double my chances. You know,
one down the right field one out line, yeah. One down the left field line.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll start a GoFundMe.
Do one for 85 and the other one for the 120. So why not do two of them?
Well, the first one doesn't put you in the foul zone. That's why you pay for the upgrade. The upgrade puts you at $129. It puts you in foul ball territory, apparently. And if your cardboard cutout, and yours would be much wider than a lot of other people's, you would have a huge tactical advantage in this scenario where if you get hit, they'll retrieve the foul ball and then they will mail it to you.
Well, I would do it. I would do both. Honestly, though, I would definitely do both of them. Just to have your face out there, and they might swing by the cameras and, you know, see it, get to see you. Got two opportunities, two chances. You can't do that in real time. Hell, why not do it now?
Here's where it gets a bit disturbing. Everyone knows that you really enjoy watching A's games naked. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just a unique thing you enjoy. Would you want your cardboard cut out to be naked, kind of like Cleveland Indians owner Rachel Phelps in the movie Major League?
Well, Joe, you and I, we've been to several games together, sporting events from baseball to football, you name it. Been there, and Dibs is you as well. And have you guys ever seen me naked at any of those games?
Can't say that I have, no.
Okay, so I imagine I'm going to say, no, I don't want my cardboard being naked. No, that wouldn't be
quack, 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 quack.
There you go. There you go, right there.
No, there you go.
Yeah, there I go. Yeah, you know how it is. I got to bring this up. It's a major downer, but the news came out on this yesterday as well. The minor league baseball season is just wiped. They're wiped. They're canceling it. And that's troubling on a lot of levels. Now, the first thing people think about is, oh, man, the players, they don't make a lot of money. They're not going to get paid. That's one thing. But you have so many people who work in minor league baseball. I interned in minor league baseball back in 2008. Like, there's a big staff in there. People selling tickets, people in the marketing department, just all over the place. In-game people who are working the stands and the concessions and all that stuff. I mean, there are a lot of people that are going to take a hit on this thing. And as you work your way through, I was coming up with notes on this morning. One of the things that Minor League Baseball's commissioner came out and said is that half of the 160 teams are in danger of failing without any sort of assistance. So if they don't get help from the government or whoever it may be, half of the 160 teams that make up minor league baseball, which is about 80 teams, are in danger of failing. Quote, we are a fans in the stands business. We don't have national TV contracts, right? So they need people to show up for these games. That's why you get so many hokey gimmicks to get you out to the ballpark. They need you in the ballpark in order for them to make a profit or to even break even. 85 to 90% of all the revenue in minor league baseball comes from tickets, concessions, parking, and then in-stadium advertising, right? So they don't have massive TV deals or fantasy deals or media deals or anything like that. Heartbreaking. One way I would try to slice this from a baseball perspective regarding players is if the young guys like Joey Bishop. Wait, who am I? Why am I thinking Joey Gallo?
Joey Bart.
Joey Bart. Who's Joey Bishop? He's from the Rat Pack.
Yeah, you got Hunter Bishop for the Giants and Joey Bart.
So right.
You're kind of getting crossed up a little bit.
Hunter Bishop's in the notes because he tested positive for COVID-19 and will not be with the team when they start practice on Friday. So he's not going to be a part of the team at all this season. And then you've got Joey Bart, who, if he's not with the club this year and he can't go to the minors, like, how do you develop? Like, Lo, how important is it for you as a young guy to get your reps, to not only be able to improve and get your coaching, but also to go through the rhythms of the season to learn how to be a pro? Like, how much is that going to hurt some of these young guys?
It's going to hurt a lot. You know that. You got to let the rhythm move you. You know that, Dibbers. So you think about these young guys, what they're going to be missing. They're going to be missing a lot of opportunities to get reps and get more opportunities. So, and to try to make it up to the majors, you do need that. What are you going to do? How are you going to get better? How are people going to be able to watch you? How are you going to be able to, you know, continue to work on your skill and your craft? And, you know, so I think it's going to be very, very tough on a lot of these young guys to try to get up there. If not, teams are going to keep more control.
Tibbs, what are you thinking there? I mean, like, do you maybe go out of your way to get a guy? I guess the service time clocks are going to start if you're playing with the team this year. So I don't know if you want to risk that, but at the same time, do you want to?